Okay, today we are our title is God Builds a Nation. And have you ever been to Grand Canyon? And that's a picture of the Grand Canyon. George and I, we stayed at Phoenix, Arizona for two years, and we visited the Grand Canyon so many times. We bought the national pass, and we took a plane ride, actually, and we had an overview of the Grand Canyon. But there are many other activities that you can go on the Grand Canyon. You can visit the South Rim, which usually the tourists will visit the South Rim. We also visited the North Rim, the East Rim, and the West Rim. And there are tours that you can take. And one of the tours that we took, it's called the Cruise, the River Cruise. And we took a view from the top, we took the view from the bottom, and we look at the canyon. It was vast, and it's beautiful, it's spectacular. And you can also do the mule ride, and you can do the hike and all that. We didn't do the mule ride, but our friend did. And after that, they came back and say, it's a good thing you didn't do it. It's terrifying. The strip is quite narrow, but the mules are very sure-footed. But the mule will stop and eat and do all kinds of things. And, you know, when they eat and all that, she felt like she was falling. Now, we are going to do the story, and today is God Builds a Nation. And we are just doing an overview of the Bible. And in 31 weeks, we're going to finish with the story. It's like an overview, but at the end of it, you will have a good grasp of the Bible. And that's what we intend to do, give you a good grasp of the Bible. Let's pray before we start. Lord, we thank you for this time that we can open your word and look at what you have done in the past and who you call and what you are continually doing in our lives. I pray that you give me wisdom to say what you wanted me to say, even through all the preparation already. Father, you fill my mouth with your words. Fill me with anointing. Fill me with challenges and encouragement. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to watch a short video clip of today's story. So let's read the passage. We're going to read Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 5, and Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 to 6. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, and as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he went out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possession they had accumulated, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. The next passage is Genesis 15, verse 1 to 6. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in the vision. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but as a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look at the skies and count the stars. Indeed, you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. Now, we are learning the second movement. 2 weeks ago when I preached, we talked about the first movement. This is the second movement. The first movement, or the first category, the division, is the story of the garden. The second movement is the story of Israel. Now, why do we need to learn about Israel? I mean, we are Christian and we live in Vancouver, Canada. What has Israel got to do with us? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when Eve took the fruit from the fruit from the knowledge of the good and evil, and Adam and Eve, they sinned and they were cast out from the garden. But before they were banished from the garden, God told Eve and Adam, "I will put enmity between you and a woman, and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head." That means Adam and Eve's offspring will crush Satan's head, but you will strike his heel. So God already has offered the redemption plan right in the garden. So the story of Israel is a story of that redemption. And that redemption is not just for the people of Israel, but for the whole world. So basically it's saying the redemption plan will come from one of the sons of Adam, and Cain murdered Abel. So it couldn't be from Abel. So it will be from Seth. And Seth, after 10 generations, Noah. And Noah, there was a great flood, so Noah is the only person left. And he had three sons, and from one of his sons, Shem, and then from Shem, Abraham, which is actually 20 generations after Adam and Eve. It's amazing. Today, when we hear of Israel in the Old Testament, today Israel still retains its name. If you go to Israel today, you will see Israel. And they still speak the same language, Hebrew. And if you go to Israel today, they actually have three languages, Hebrew, Arabic, and English as one of their signs. So they still speak the same language. They are still called Israel, and they still actually live in their own land. But we are going to learn about the history of Israel, and Rob is teaching about the church history. Israel was deported, there were war and all that, but God brought them back. And one man actually professed this. He said, "I became a Christian because of what happened to Israel. All the prophecy concerning Israel came to pass. And that's because the Bible wrote about them, God promised to Abraham, and it all came to pass. And I cannot help but believe in this God." Now, when we read Genesis chapter 12 just now, that was not the first calling when God called Abraham. When God first spoke to Abraham, he was living in Mesopotamia. And we learn of it in Acts chapter 7, verse 2 to 4. "The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. 'Leave your country and your people,' God said, 'and go to the land I will show you.' And he left and he settled in Haran." Abraham was living in Mesopotamia, and this is a map. And he lived actually in somewhere here, of the Chaldees. And when God asked him to leave, he left and he went northwest, about 1,000 kilometers, from and he went and settled in Haran. But God didn't ask him to settle. God actually asked him to leave and go to the land I will show you. But he left and he settled because where he stayed, Haran, is actually a very prosperous city. It has modern technology. They were building high, tall buildings. They have even library sciences. They were very advanced civilization. And he traveled around the river Euphrates, and that's comfort. You know, when you travel around near the river, you will have water, you will have civilization. And then he settled in another major city, Haran. And he didn't leave there until God called him again in Genesis chapter 12. He stayed there because he brought along his father and his nephew. He didn't leave his family. He didn't leave his country. He brought along some of his family, and he settled in Haran, which is another civilized nation. Now, when God asked him to leave those two countries, those two nations, those two civilizations, is because they were idolatrous and they were paganistic, and God wanted them to leave. But he took along his nephew, his father, and only until the death of his father at Haran that God spoke to him again. Now, God wanted him to leave everything, leave his country, leave his comfort zone, leave everything he knows so that he can proceed to a completely unfamiliar place that he had never heard of or never been to. And sometimes leaving causes you to depend on God. And that's what God wants from Abraham, to leave his country, to leave his family so that he can totally depend on God. Now, in the upper story, which we will hear a lot, God is revealing his redemptive plan, and he's choosing a nation, the nation that will come from Abraham. And this nation will bear his name, and through this nation will come the Savior of the world. But in the lower story, we think that, God, if you're choosing someone to start a nation, wouldn't you start with someone young, and maybe a young couple? But when God called him, Abraham was 75 years old, and Sarai, actually, she was 65, and they've been married for quite some time. And it says in the Bible, Sarai was barren. Now, I have a few jokes about growing old, and I'm old. The acronym for BFF, usually it's best friend forever, right? But when you're old, it means best friend fainted. And BYOT, it's bring your own teeth. CMB, it's covered by Medicare. LMDO, we usually say LOL, right? Laugh out loud or something like that. But for the seniors, it will be LMDO, laughing my dentures out. And GGPBL, got to go. Pacemaker battery low. So Abraham is in that category. He is old. I have a few more jokes. You know you're growing old when a day at a fair and you complain that you're aching all over, and all you sat on and rode on was the massage chair. You know when you're growing old is when at your birthday and you remark, I wish I was 6 again. And your family say, oh, okay, let's do her a chocolate chip pancake, and let's bring you to the carousel, and let's finish the day off with banana split sundae. And then they ask you, so how do you enjoy your day being a kid again? And you reply, great. But when I said I wanted to be 6 again, 6, I didn't mean my age. I mean my dress size. Oh, okay. That happens to me. I'm not 6 again. Now, when in Genesis, when God called Abraham, he said to him, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. And then he promised Abraham 4 things. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. So there are 4 blessings here. But we didn't see about land. But in other passages in the Bible, Genesis 12 verse 7, it says, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. And so Abraham built an altar to the Lord and who had appeared to him. And then in another passage, Genesis 17 verse 8, the whole land of Canaan where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. So besides the four blessings that God spoke to Abram in Genesis chapter 12, God also promised him land. So God did not just say to Abraham, you will be a great nation, all the people will be blessed through you, but you will also have all this land. Because to have a nation, you have to have land. Now, Abraham is a senior citizen. We already established that. And they are childless. But to have a nation, you need a lot of children. Now, God called Abraham not because of his exceptional faith. You say, maybe they don't have children, but they have faith. They believe in God. No, it's not because of that. Is it because of their courage, their intelligence, their standing in the community? None of that. He was actually an ordinary person with a lot of fears, with a lot of flaws. He's not the most ideal candidate, we would call it. But God does that all the time. And I actually have a t-shirt here, which I bought for my son. And I love it. And he wears it a lot. That's why it's so worn out. It says, do you seriously think God can't use you? Because in this list are many people in the Bible, and they all have their flaws and their failures. It says, Noah was a drunk. Remember the last time we said, after the flood, Noah came out, and he drank too much, and he became a drunk, but only for that occasion. But Abraham was too old to start a nation. God, you called the wrong person. Abraham was too old. Jacob was a liar, which we'll learn about later, which we saw on the DVD clip. He lied to his father, and he got the other blessing. Joseph was abused. He was abused by his brothers. Moses had a stuttering problem. He said, God, I cannot be used by you because I always stutter. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran away from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was a persecutor of the church. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. And all those people God used. Because God can use anyone, even Abraham, who was too old. In Genesis chapter 15, God appeared to Abraham again, and we read that just now. God said to him, you know, one of your offspring will be a great nation. And Abraham said, how about my servant Eliezer? I have no children. And God brought him out and saw the stars in the sky, and God said, if you can count them, that will be your offspring. You will have as many offspring as the stars in the skies. And Abraham believed God. He believed God not just in his head, but he believed God in his heart. But 10 years later, now he's 85, and he still have no kids. Because God was not in a hurry. God is never in a hurry. But Sarai, his wife, was getting impatient, and she decided to help God. So she employed a known cultural practice during the ancient time. If the wife couldn't bear children for the husband can have a second wife, a concubine. So this custom is permissible, but it's not the ideal. So she introduced her own maidservant, Hagar, to Abraham and say, marry my servant, which is not part of God's plan. Abraham listened to Sarai, and Abraham and Hagar had Ishmael. And that caused so much problem even for us today. Ishmael is the forefathers of the Arabs, And the Arabs and Israel always have the problem. In the upper story, God is actually postponing and waiting until it is humanly impossible for Abraham and Sarai to have children. God wanted it to be that, so that when Isaac is born, it will truly be a gift from God. But in the lower story, we think that God is slow. God has forgotten. We need to help God out. 24 years later, after God called Abraham out from Ur to Haran and now Canaan, Abraham is now 99 years old and Sarai 89. God then said to Abraham, right now, I'm going to change your name. Your name is no longer Abraham, but Abraham. And Abraham means exalted father, but Abraham means father of many nations. And Sarai meaning princess, and Sarah meaning mother of nations. So God now have to change their name to change their perspective. And the year after, finally, when Abraham is 100 years old and Sarah 90 years old, Isaac was born. Finally, they have a son. But this nation building is so slow, isn't it? After 20 generations from Adam, God is finally revealing the salvation plan. But wait a minute. When Isaac was 15 years old, sadly, when Abraham is 115 years old, God asked Abraham to do a very difficult thing. This thing is more difficult than the waiting period. It's to sacrifice his son. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. What was Abraham's response? He did it. The next morning, Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac, and cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. They actually took a three-day journey, and they arrived at Moriah, and he actually cut the wood, placed Isaac on the altar, and just now you saw the DVD clip, and he was about to slaughter his son, and God had to stop him. Now, many of us may ask, was God actually tempting Abraham to do a human sacrifice? Was God tempting Abraham to do a child sacrifice? The answer is God was not tempting him, but testing him to see whether Abraham would obey. God never institute child sacrifice. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31, it says, God said to Israel, do not worship the Lord your God in the way the pagans do, because in worshiping their God, they do all kinds of detestable and things that God hates. They burn their sons and daughters in fire as sacrifice to their God. Do not do that. I do not like that. So God never institute human sacrifice as an act of worship. But there's a lower and an upper story. In the upper story, actually, God is showing Abraham what is to come. The sacrifice of his own son, Jesus. So in the upper story, God is revealing his salvation plan, the redemption plan. Abraham called out to make him a nation, and through this nation, the sacrifice of his son will come. That's in the upper story. And God revealed that all in Genesis. But in the lower story, God is testing Abraham to see whether Abraham will totally trust God. Abraham loved God. He obeyed God. He had faith. He trusted him. But it was necessary for Abraham to prove through his action that he truly, truly loved God. So that's why in James chapter 2, verse 21 to 23, it says, "Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his action were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, because he was called God's friend." So when we possess faith, we also need to act it out. Abraham's faith was made complete by what he did, because in possessing faith, his faith needed to be tested to see if he really trusted God. If someone else would initiate this, it would be totally wrong to say, sacrifice your son as a human, you know, as a human sacrifice. But only God could initiate this, because God gives life and he has a right to take it. And because Abraham believed God, he somehow believed that God would not take his son's life, or even if he did, God would resurrect him. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 to 19, Abraham, it stated that, "By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.' Abraham reasoned that God would even raise the dead. And so in a matter of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead." So Abraham believed God so much that he was actually willing to sacrifice his son. But in the upper story, God was revealing his salvation plan. In the lower story, it's just God is testing Abraham. But Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son because he believed that God would resurrect his son. I had three pregnancies, but I only have two children. During my first pregnancy, I was reading this passage about Abraham sacrificing his son and all that. And somehow the Holy Spirit stirred in me to pray this prayer. I didn't know why, but I prayed this prayer. I said, "God, if you were to take this child away, I would still love you." I say that prayer. And 2 weeks later, I lost my child. And I was so angry with God at that time. I said, "God, when I pray something to you, do you literally take it? Like, you literally take my son, because my child, because I prayed that prayer?" But that's in my lower story. I felt, God, you know, you honor my prayer in such a way. That was in my lower story. When I had my second and third pregnancy with Uriel and Galatia, I realized, the doctor said to me, "You are actually able to get pregnant, but you have difficulty maintaining your pregnancy." I had very difficult pregnancy with Uriel. I had preterm labor at 22 weeks. I was highly medicated, and we were living in Phoenix, Arizona. I was administrated through injection, because oral medication doesn't work. And I was bedridden for 3 months, hospitalized, and then in and out of the hospital. And then with Galatia, God intervened. So in the lower story, I saw God as taking away from me. But actually in the upper story, God actually intervened for my second and third pregnancy. Even without praying that prayer, I would still lose the first pregnancy. But because I prayed, I thought God was actually taking away. But in the lower story, I see God as taking away. But in the upper story, God was actually intervening with my second and my third pregnancy. So actually, it's God's grace that helped me to have children. Because every time I have children, I have this, the gynae, told me, "Your womb, it's so much so, it's called irritability, but you know, when your womb has something inside, they think it's a foreign object, it tries to repel it. So whenever I get pregnant, the womb will start to push, and that's why I lost. But God intervened and preserved my second and third pregnancy. But sometimes we have all have that. we have the upper and the lower story in our lives. And we do not see what God sees. And what we see is God taking away, but sometimes it's not that. But God do wants us to surrender. God do wants us to surrender, either by our free will or sometimes we see as a bad incident. But when we surrender, actually, it helps us to grow. I know of a man. I heard this testimony about him. He is a pastor, a very good speaker. And when he came up from his church, a tree fell on him and he became kind of partial paralyzed. And someone told him, asked him, can you love God now? You are such a good pastor of this big church. And now you suffered almost paralyzation to your body. Can you still say God is in charge? Can you still say God loves you? And his reply was, my relationship with God is even more secure now because nothing can touch me. Nothing can touch me now because of what I've experienced. If God has allowed this and I still love him, nothing can touch me. So Abraham's faith is like that. When he was tested, you think, oh, God wants his son. But God was actually revealing his salvation plan. And by revealing his salvation plan, we see as a test on Abraham. So in conclusion, I have 3 points. When God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, God wants to make a nation so that his salvation plan can come to this nation. And God had to call Abraham out of this civilized, advanced nation to a land that he has never seen before because that nation is idolatrous, is paganistic, and God has to start all over again. And when God bring him out so that he would totally depend on God and not on his parents, not on his family, on his community. And this plan of salvation is for the whole world. And when God brought Abraham out, Abraham had to wait, had to learn a lot of things, had to even sacrifice his own son, kind of. But through his faith, we are learning about our own journey. His faith is an example for us. What it is to be walking in faith. We will receive testing. We will receive a lot of testing in our own lives. I do not know what your journey is today. God may test you with waiting. God may be testing you with saying surrender that area in your life to him. It could be an Isaac, your career, your marriage, your promotion, your family, anything. Would you be able to surrender? Abraham did. And we can learn from Abraham's faith. And the sacrifice of Isaac is actually a foreshadow of what is to come, the death of Christ. It is said that when Abraham was called to go to Moriah, Moriah is actually the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus was crucified outside the city of Jerusalem. So it's very close to Moriah. And that chapter, John chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son. It's the same as what God told Abraham. Go sacrifice your son, your only son. It echoes the same thing. Abraham, your one and only son, the son that you love, sacrifice him. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he sent his one and only son, the son that he loves, he sacrificed him. It's a foreshadow. So when we learn about Genesis, God revealed his plan. He has already revealed his salvation plan to us. The rest is our response. What is our response to him? Will we dare to learn from Abraham's faith? Sometimes waiting, sometimes giving, putting things at the altar. And God always provides. Jesus has come. He sacrificed His one and only Son for us, what more will He withhold from us? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for obeying Your Father's command. You did not withhold Your life when You had to give it. You sacrificially, willingly gave up Your life when You died on that cross. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son too, because his belief in You was so strong. Help us to learn from Abraham's faith. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you put up your palms like that. And we're going to pray a benediction, and you're going to receive the benediction. Oh Lord, we thank You for what You've done on the cross. We confess with our mouth that we believe. We do not just believe, we trust. We trust in You, the goodness of God. You have provided all salvation. And because You have provided, we can receive from You. Help us, what we have learned this morning, help us to have that faith, so that when You said the faith of Abraham is accredited to him as righteousness, we can say the same thing. Because of our belief and our faith, You will accredit that to us as our righteousness. Thank You. Righteousness meaning that we stand right before You. We actually stand right before You because of what You have done. We pray this in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Receive.